somebody in this congregation called me recently. No names mentioned, Becky. She did it in public. Yeah. Anyhow, we are going to finish up the Ten Commandments, hopefully, today. It's on. Let me ask you about the Ten Commandments. Is it impossible for the human beings who roam the earth, past, present, and future, to keep the Ten Commandments? You don't have to answer me. I mean, it's not like they are something that takes... I mean, if you just read them, you know, and you don't get into all the extra ideas that come into the list and about each one, is it impossible for us to keep them? If it is possible, then the next question, of course, is how come we don't? But we share with people when we share the gospel, Romans 3:23, don't we? All have come short of the glory of God. The glory is equatable with the Ten Commandments, the standard that God has. The glory of God is certainly speaking about a standard, you know, a place that we are supposed to maintain, but we do not. If it's not impossible, then there's only really one reason why we don't. And that falls on us. And that, of course, is indicative of who we are. I guess we just don't want to. At some point in our lives, even before we come to Christ, we just don't want to. Something else gets in the way, gets in between us and keeping the commandments. As a child, I certainly knew what they were. I had a full knowledge of everything. I had seen them listed on two nice drawings of tablets. I'd seen them in Sunday school and all of that. I have to admit, I certainly had no desire at certain points in my life to keep them. Something else got in the way. These last three are all actually interrelated. In fact, I think every one of them is interrelated. And I'll try to look at that as we go through and make some direct relationships. But the three that we're looking at today are all obviously closely related. Why are we involved in helplessness? I think you agree. And the other way around. Bearing false witness is something that can take place in the covenant with a little lying as well. Without getting into the details, that's just kind of a little primer or an introduction. But if nothing else, in all three of them, there is what goes on. This is something involved with selfishness or is common. A person has to lie to himself or herself about the rightness of stealing something. Part of the mindset. Sometimes I have a tape player that I put in my car. It was a distinctive tape player. I thought it never even think to lock the car. Well, somebody stole my tape deck. And then one day, sometime later, a couple weeks later, I got in my friend's car and he had a tape deck like mine. So I stole it back. I figured I was justified. Nobody else had one, and I knew he was pretty much a thief. And he never said a word to me, because he saw it in my car again later on. We never said a word to each other about it. It's amazing. That's how lost people are, I guess. But you have to realize that there's a whole psychology behind every one of these three things. And, well, you know, I got thinking, how am I going to present this? Should I go through all the ways in which we steal? Would that help? I don't know if that would really help. What if I miss something and you then could justify stealing because it wasn't on the list? You know, I mean, that's what I think about weird things like that. That's what you do when you try to put messages together. How can I get this across? How is it even possible to formulate an exhaustive list of all the ways that we steal? So we're going to talk about stealing, bearing false witness, and coveting in that order. God didn't give us in this commandment, in the Deuteronomy 5, he didn't say, you shouldn't steal this, that, or the other. He didn't give us a list. He just left that one open-ended. The other two are not open-ended, but in another sense, I think that they tend to be. But that's the way with a lot of these, committing adultery, killing, murdering, actually. Those are open-ended. So what I gather from that is not a list, but it's wrong always to steal. So I don't need a list. I don't have to come up with a list. So if you steal, you're pretty much at that point a situation ethicist. And I don't know if, I'm almost sure everybody would know what that means, but there is a situation, in other words, in which you say it's okay to steal. But God says there is no situation in which it is okay or right before him to steal. I don't care what you're talking about. People tend to justify the end, stealing, by some means or some situation. If I say sitz im Leben today, don't think I'm weird. It's German for situation in life. I tend to write that all the time in my notes, but I never say it. So I'm getting to where I wanted to just go ahead and say it because it kind of is broader than just situation. But there are situations or sitz im Lebens where people will say it's okay to murder, it's okay to lie, it's okay to steal, it's okay to commit adultery, it's okay not for me to love God with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, it's okay for me not to love my neighbor as myself. By the way, these last three fit into that second large commandment that Jesus gave in that he said those last six after the Sabbath commandment are about loving your neighbor as yourself. So stealing, lying, murder, covetousness, and so on, these are the opposite of loving your neighbor. And so, man, all of a sudden, we're talking about motives as much as we are actions when we're talking about these things. And that's where we get caught most often, is in our motives. You can do, and I'll say this way, and then maybe I'll explain, but you can do the right thing, but if you're doing it for the wrong motive, it becomes the wrong thing. Is that confusing? But it's the truth. Paul, with that thorn in his side, that's all about his pride. And the Lord gave him that thorn in his side to keep him from being prideful. What could he be prideful of? I thought about it this week, actually, the same kind of a situation. Boy, we really put on a good kids club, didn't we, guys? Rah, rah, rah. Let's have a pep rally. We did a great job. Lord, didn't we do a great job? What's going on there? Pride. I forget who it was, but he's a famous old-timey commentator. He was in Chicago. And the Lord told him to put one of those sandwich boards on. And he was supposed to go out in the streets of Chicago. They aren't like they are today. He would have got shot today. But he put on the sandwich board something like, the end is near. And he said, he got back to his dorm room. He was a student in Moody Bible College. And he got back there and he goes, you know, there's nobody else in this whole college that would have done what I just did. Pride. He did a good thing, but his pride entered him. And we can get prideful, too, about a lot of things. But maybe this idea of being a big fish in a little pond is helpful at this point. I was telling Travis a while ago, and I wasn't being prideful. I told him I was pretty good guard in basketball and pretty good basketball player and stuff. But I was a big fish in a little pond. You know, I mean, came from Grand Rapids, Ohio. I went to high school in Tontogony, Ohio. All these weird words. And I was an Otsego Knight. And I was the best basketball player that Otsego had. Well, big deal. Me and about 100 other million kids in high school were the best in their little pond. So, you know, pride just never really seemed to be an issue. I was always concerned about doing better. Always wanted to do better. And I think that's important for us. We should learn from what we do and try to do better and not get to where our motives become to draw in all the accolades and the kudos and all of that sort of thing. You can offer a cup of cold water to a person and get prideful about something like that. You have to watch your motives. You have to watch what drives you to do. But this particular first commandment that we're looking at, you shall not steal, actually is the place where the founders of our country got this idea that personal property is a God-given right. You know, it comes from the Bible right here. And it's actually before this, God gave them land. And he said, it shall be your land forever, you know, into perpetuity. If somebody had a piece of land and they had to sell it because they were down on their luck, so to speak, in the year of Jubilee, it would return to them. The land was always supposed to be theirs. Personal property is a God-given right. If they start to take that away from us, we're in big trouble. Big, big, big trouble. And I just want to throw that out. Because one of the greatest thieves in our lives today is our government. In this whole notion of redistribution, socialism, they're doing the old Robin Hood thing. I'm not trying to come down on Robin Hood. He might have been a good guy. I don't know. He may have not even been real, far as I know. But he would take from the rich and give to the poor, right? There's a little problem with that whole thing. You keep taking from the rich, and pretty soon there are no rich anymore. To take from somebody who works very hard, or just works, period, whether it's hard or not, in order to possess something, and then you take it from them and give it to somebody else who doesn't work, doesn't even do anything, that's redistribution. That's where we're headed. And I just want to say this, especially to the young people, because I'm going to be gone. You know, at some point, I'm out of here. Thank God. Looking forward to it, actually. And you'll have to deal with it. And they'll be taking your stuff and giving it to somebody else. People are being brainwashed today into thinking that there are situations where stealing is correct if it's done by the government. If you or I did what the government of the United States of America does, they would throw us under the jail, not just in the jail. You could not get away with it. But they get away with it all the time. And people are getting brainwashed into thinking that there are situations where it's okay to take somebody else's property because they are in the majority. One side has 49%, one side has 51%. stealing is taking place right before our eyes. And there are a couple of candidates, and there are probably more than a couple. They're coming out of the woodwork, and they're saying, this is what we need to do. This would be a better situation. It's not a better situation. Are you aware of the Pilgrims? Pilgrims came over here. I'll give you a real quick Reader's Digest version. When they came over here, they were a communist situation. They had a common storehouse. All of the corn, let's say, that was produced went into a common storehouse. Almost all of them died that first year. People stopped working. People stopped producing. They had no incentive. Funny thing about the way God wired us, we have to have no incentive for doing things. I've noticed that young men don't really seem to get serious about their careers until some young lady comes into their life. And then they become serious and they start thinking about it. Or when that first baby comes along, they start thinking a little more seriously about, what am I going to do the rest of my life? There needs to be an incentive. So you take that away when you come up with this redistribution thing, known as, at least on our level, socialism, because communism is socialism with a gun. But the government, if they have us going towards socialism, they have the power, folks. They have the power, and we can't do anything about it quite often. So we need to get rid of people who go that way. We need to vote them out, or not vote them in the first place. And I'm not being political here. I'm not talking about a party, one party or the other, or any of the parties. Talking about governing. See, the government doesn't produce anything. Well, let me go back to the Pilgrims. After that, they went to a situation where they said, okay, you produce as much as you want to, and you bring it to the storehouse, only this time to sell it. Guess what? It went well. Very well. Like I say, this is the Reader's Digest version. The government doesn't produce anything at all. All they do is take. I hope that's not an eye-opener for anybody. But that's the way it is. They don't produce anything. All they do is basically mess up everything. That's my hypocritical, sarcastic way of putting it, but it's, to me, the truth. But I have friends that I grew up with in high school that advocate going towards socialism. And I don't think they've thought it through, so I'm just saying to you, think it through. Herbert Schlossberg said, since government produces no goods, it can distribute only what it takes from others. This process is indistinguishable from theft. When an election, or in some countries a coup, changes the identities of the plunderers and the plundered, yesterday's injustice becomes today's justice. In a redistributive society, the law is thief. Right now, our problem is that if you do want to talk about politics, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties that are in power on how they govern. They'll talk a good game, but how they govern. They have an insatiable greed for your stuff. They want more and more and more and more of it. Now, I didn't list a bunch of things that stealing is all about. I've just gone into what I think is the greatest problem that we have today. And they can take away all the assets of this church when and if the majority says it's okay. So we need to be actively engaged in the political process, and perhaps you don't think we ought to be. Sometimes you go places and you hear people say, we don't talk about what? Religion or politics? That's part of the problem. We need to talk about it. We need to talk about it in terms of what God says, because God says personal property is yours. He gives it to you to use as a steward, a good steward, including the earth. I like farmers a lot because they are close to the land. And I think most of them are interested in being good stewards of the land. I've known a great many of them. they understand this principle. What God has given us, he wants us to use it correctly. So, if we're allowing them to steal it from us, we're not really being very good stewards. If we vote in people that are thieves like that, we're not being very good stewards. Stealing is wrong, is wrong, is wrong, is wrong. Forever in God's way and his economy. But stealing in a personal way is very close to being motivated by lying, isn't it? On TV you hear, gotta have it. Do you really? Jerry, I know he and I haven't really talked about it very much, but he would like to live a simpler life where he lives off the land. If I'm wrong, holler at me. Where you use the land properly and get away from the land and get away from all the hubbub of the world and society. It's not that he's a hermit or anything like that. I don't mean to. He's a pioneer spirit. I tend to be that way too, even though I've never been able to do it. I think it would be cool to be off the grid and just doing the things that some of those nutcases on Mountain Men do, although not in the places they do it. A little chilly for me. But still, if we think about it, how much do we gotta have it? What creates the gotta have it mentality? And if you can't afford it, do you gotta have it so much that you steal it from somebody? I think that's the lying part of it, that people go through when they steal. They lie to themselves and they say, I absolutely have to have this. So there is a point at which it's okay to steal. I've changed my attitude about this. I have reduced this whole notion that God put out as a concrete principle that is never changed. And he didn't really mean it in this case. So you become a situation ethicist. By the way, we're not going to get the other two things if you're worried. There has to be some mental gymnastics take place before somebody steals something. I remember one time my brother and I, we stole two bicycle locks from a grocery store. You know, the long ones that go through the spokes, because we wanted to protect our bikes. Really, we weren't in any danger of losing our bikes. We just had the locks. It would be cool. We got to have it. Mom walked out one day, and she saw the locks on our bikes, and she knew we didn't have a dime. So she put a couple things together, and she said, you guys stole those things, didn't you? Yeah. We did. She took us to the store with those locks. She took us, marched us back to the store with those. Talk about the walk of shame, man. We had to tell the store manager. And I swear she must have colluded with him. Because he made us feel so stinking guilty we couldn't hardly stand there in front of him anymore. But we did some stuff and kind of made up for our crime. But she did the right thing. She showed us it's never right to steal. People steal in many different ways. I think people know by virtue of their conscience that stealing is wrong. I'm of the opinion, you may want to argue with me about this one, I'm of the opinion that even Hitler knew that it was wrong to steal. But you know what was going on? When he was doing his thing, he was stealing all of the property of the Jews that he was about to massacre. I found a little article. Nearly 120 billion Reichsmarks over 12 billion sterling. That's an English monetary form. I don't know how much that is. A lot. It's a billion of anything. It's a lot. He plundered from German Jews by laws and looting. He changed the standard. He said it was okay. They weren't really people. It's okay to steal in that situation where they're not really people. He called them pigs and other things, and they were inhuman. The official study commissioned by the ministry examined the years from 33 to 45. Hans Peter Ullmann, a Cologne history professor, said that the tax authorities under the Nazis actively worked to destroy Jews financially and to loot wealth in the nations the Germans occupied. Even Jews who managed to escape from Germany before the Holocaust had to leave part of their wealth behind in the form of an exit tax. Tax laws discriminated against Jews from 1934 onward. And it goes on. Get rid of them, take their stuff. There's a situation in Hitler where he went against the conscience that God gave him. I don't even care who you're talking about. God, it says in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, 14 through 16, says we have a conscience. Even if we don't have the law, even if the Gentiles who don't have the law, it says, live according to the law. They actually do the mandates of the law, the dictates of the law. They show that they have the law written on their hearts. Hitler, even Hitler, knew it was wrong to steal. How come our government doesn't know it's wrong to steal? How come those people can't put two and two together? I'll tell you why. They're not stealing from themselves. And it gives them power. And there's a motive. And I don't know all the motives, but I know some of them. There's always a motive behind the practice. And this is what God addresses most often. What's in a person comes out of a person. We have to be really careful that we don't lie to ourselves about this. Paul said it very clearly. And I think he was a mature Christian at the time. There's a little debate about that. Romans chapter 7. He says, the good that I do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do. Pretty conflicted. Pretty frustrated with the whole thing. He says, there is no good thing in me. I can tell you that. There is no good thing in me. Why do we have to have laws? There is no good thing in me. Why don't we keep the Ten Commandments? It's not because they're impossible to keep. It's because there is no good thing in me except Jesus Christ. That's what the rest of that verse says. And in that dilemma, Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's talking about his flesh. He said, thanks be to God. Jesus Christ is my deliverer. Battle. Do battle with yourself. Do battle with the forces of darkness that want to reduce you to nothing and take your stuff. Because stealing is always wrong. Hopefully today I haven't stolen your time. Hopefully today you'll realize that there are lots of bigger issues out there. I've just chosen to speak to a few. But we're in the throes of this. And there are a lot of people who are going to lay down for all of this taking place. And the United States will become a third world country. If I can't appeal to you on any other level than to do the right thing before God, think about your own heritage. Is this going to happen under your watch? Is this going to happen because, unlike those who lived during the Revolutionary War and all of the other time up to this point, They fought this. They knew what the Word of God said, and they based their very lives on this stuff. Are we going to lay down and let it happen to us? Shame on us if we do. Stealing is never correct. It's never right. But it goes on all the time. Father, thank you for your word that, like you, is unchanging, and that, like you, is relevant. I don't care when somebody lives, olden days or modern times. They're coming at us with all kinds of stuff that seems to sound really good. I mean, not just the government, but the whole satanic-influenced world is coming at us all the time saying, there is this situation where it's okay. Son, would you jump off the bridge if your friends did? How completely wrong-headed are we, Lord, when we don't stand up and declare how wrong this is? And whether they shoot us or embrace us, to say, no, stop the stealing, stop the murder, stop these things that go against the principles of God. Not so much because necessarily in the next moment there's going to be a lightning bolt out of heaven, but because it's wrong and it leads to more wrong and more wrong, and finally, it's all over. But it does lead to judgment as well. I'm convinced that you will judge our country and us and other generations based simply on your standards. They do not change. Wake us up, O Lord. Help us to see beyond our own lives and beyond our own situation. Help us to get involved. Help us to be light and to be salt. Oh, man, I had to bring that up. Lord, you want your people to influence society. Call it politics, call it whatever you want to. If we don't, who will? About as simple as that. Help us, Lord, to be aggressively active for the glory of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.